Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week. It is Thanksgiving week, so happy early Thanksgiving. Pray that this Thanksgiving coming up is just going to be full with joy and fun with your friends and family. So we are continuing our preaching series in Psalms 23. This is part two of this preaching series. And if you did miss part one, you can, find it on this website. And you can listen to part one. Very important to listen to part one because there's stuff that I will not be covering in detail as much as I covered in part I'm covering in part two here. So part one, if you get opportunity, just go over there and listen to that if you haven't yet. The title of this sermon series is, O Lord, create in me a shepherd's heart, a heart for Jesus. And we are continuing our reading in Psalms 23, verse 1. And let's read all the way from 1 to 6. So that's Psalms 23, verse 1 through 26, or verse 1 through 6. So, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you guys bow with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come in your presence, Lord, lifting you up, praying that you guide and you direct us in this series, Lord, that you just have your way. That whoever's out there listening to it, Lord, that it touches their hearts, that it lifts them up, Lord, that it just guides and directs them, God, that into the Word more, to study your Word, to be in more, to abide in your Word, Lord. To know to be a disciple for you is to abide in your Word. And to live a life that is different than this world, Lord. We are not supposed to blend in to this world. We are supposed to be that light. We're supposed to be that salt. The world should know there's something different about us. God, create in us that shepherd heart, a heart for Jesus. Jesus didn't compromise who he was when he walked down here on earth. He never compromised the truth. He wasn't liked by many. Because of that, it led to his crucifixion, his horrible death on the cross. Let's keep that in mind. That we're not supposed to blend in, even though it may get rough. We are not supposed to blend into this world. We are supposed to stand boldly on the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? Our opinions don't matter. Only the Word of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just create in us that desire and that passion to stand on the Word of truth. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we're looking at verse 1, and in last week's, we looked at basically the first two words here in Psalms 23, is the Lord, the Lord. and mention when we see the Lord, all caps, this means, or denotes, the covenant name Israel, God's, the Israel God, Yahweh or Jehovah. And the same God, the same Lord of the Old Testament is still the same Lord of the New Testament. He does not change. That Lord is infinite, meaning He cannot be numbered. That Lord is all-powerful and knowing, and He is still holy, right? He is still a holy and righteous Lord. As He was then, as He is now, He has not changed. He created the heavens and the earth, right? Let's not lose perspective who the Lord is. Never lose the reverence for Him. Oh, how we should not lose that reverence for Him. Our sin should grieve us. It should convict us. It should chasten us. It should scourge us till we can't move. Our hearts just there lying there, just crying out to the Lord. We should never be okay with our sins. Hebrews 12, 5 through 8 says this, "And ye have forgotten to exhort, which speak unto you as unto the children, my son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For when the Lord love, for whom the Lord capitalized love, He chastens, and He scourged every son," and that can also mean every daughter, "whom He received. If ye endure chasten, God deal with you as sons or as daughters. For what is a son or daughter? Is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." And you can say daughters there, meaning you are not His. When we sin, you think God's okay with that? This is just one of many scriptures that we can refer to. But when you read just Hebrews 12, 5 through 8, does it sound like God is okay with your sin and living in your sin and that lifestyle of sin? Does it sound like a life open rebellion against God? That God is okay with that? I want to tell you today, the progressive Christianity, the new age Christianity, they will tell you God's okay with that. He doesn't care how I live my life. He loves me regardless. He wants me to be happy so I can define what happiness is. I can define what joy is because God has given me that. And I will tell you today, that's a lie from the pit of hell. But you want to understand this progressive thought is been growing. It's in the majority of the churches in America today that they will say it's okay to live in sin and be happy. Oh, I'm telling you, we cannot live in our sin and be happy. It goes against the scriptures. Sin should grieve us. You should feel the weight of your rebellion. You should feel the weight of that sinful act. And if you're not feeling that, I will tell you, you're not on the path that leads to heaven, that eternal life. You're on the path that leads to eternal damnation, to hell. Oh, let's get that. Oh, how many people in our churches today who just, they love their sin more than they love God. What just drives me crazy is to watch, you know, and I stay on, you know, I'm on Facebook a lot because to me, it's an opportunity to witness internet evangelistic or internet evangelism. I can post scriptures and I can, you know, put articles that are Christian up there, but what just blows my mind is to watch people put things on there and with cuss words. That's two acts of sin. You look at what you're about to post. You agree in your mind to do it. And then you do it. You openly do it. And you're not having no grief of it. And then you are enjoying all the likes and shares. It's sad. And then you call yourself a Christian. I'll tell you not on what I have will tell you, what the Word of God will tell you, that that kind of behavior, that kind of action is not Christian, as we would say. But I would say that is appalling to a holy and righteous God. Our sin today is praise. But I want to tell you, sin is a cancer. It will destroy you. If you do not confess it and repent of it, it will destroy you. And I know that's not a popular message in today's progressive and new age Christianity, or the new Christian churches, the new progressive Christian churches. But I am not called to be popular. I'm here to preach on sin. And we are supposed to have a life that is different from this world. Oh, we should not blend in. I'm not saying we shouldn't love. But the love that this world speaks of is a distortion of what the love Jesus speaks of. We love them with truth. We don't be partakers of their sin and their filthy conversations and their all of this. We're not partakers of that. If we're in that, we need to walk away from it. And if they question us why, then we expound the scriptures to them. How hard is it? But today it is, because why? Because the church has dropped everything. It has accepted the false Christianity, the progressive Christianity, the American gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The endorsing of sin is sad, but it's true. For one example that I could give many, just recently, over maybe a week ago, where they have came out and apologized, is only because they got caught and probably were going to lose some money over it. Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. You may be familiar with this name, John Hagee. Very popular, Matthew Hagee. These, at one of their, I guess, conference or wake up, whatever. They need to wake up to the Word of God. That's what they really need to wake up to, because John Hagee has had issues for a long time when it comes to true Holy Ghost filled preaching, and his son is just as bad. But they were at one of these meetings, they were encouraging to chant this phrase, and you guys may have heard this phrase, and I don't want to say it, but you know, it's basically cussing Joe Biden, but it's code phrase. You can look it up if you want to. And what's so amazing, it surprised a lot of people, but it don't surprise those who are truly watching and truly discerning the scriptures. We clearly say John Hagee, he's not teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God. He's not preaching the whole Word of God, and he ain't been preaching it in probably a long time. If he ever did, he preaches a version, a progressive, a prosperity gospel. He twists the Word of God just as Satan did in the Garden of Eve, and provide this deception as an aid to fund his expensive lifestyle. See, Satan does not need to change his game plan. It works. Satan's game plan worked in the garden. It works today. Majority of those who profess to know Jesus could care less about the Word of God says, because they love their sin. Same game, different culture. Satan knows every move. He knows human nature, and he appeals to that materialistic pull. You could go and you can Google John Hagen. You can look at his big mansion. You can look at his expensive toys. He loves money more than he loves God. But I want to tell you, if you truly are seeking God, studying the Word of God, you may not have a big church like John Hagee, but you will have a biblical church that stands on the Word of God with boldness. As I said before, sin will destroy you. Unconfessed, unrepented sin will destroy you. And it will destroy your church. It will destroy you, anger, and it is destroying our nation. We don't have a political issue. We have a sin issue. Sin is destruction. And sin should always grieve us when we sin against God. Period. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, David uses the word here, my. That word is a personal pronoun. David is relating to the Lord. See, David once was a shepherd in his youth. You can find that over in 1 Samuel 16:11. Most Bible scholars put David a little bit below 15, probably young. He was entrusted with a serious task of watching over his family's sheep. His family's sheep. He would spend long hours guarding over the sheep. You see, sheep were important. They provide food and wool for the family, even a money source. So neglecting his duties as a shepherd could cost his family a lot. And David was in the wilderness of Judea, which was a very inhospitable place for sheep, meaning food and water would be hard to find. So David would have to keep the flock moving to find new locations to feed and water the flock. On top of that, there was other animals out there, predators that were hungry, like bears and lions and several, to a lion and a bear, you know, a group of sheep would be a nice meal for them. But David had to be on his guard for these predators. 1 Samuel 17:34-37 says this, and David said unto Saul, thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear. He took a lamb out of the flock. 35 saying, I went out after him, smote him, delivered it out of his mouth, and when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard. Wow, that the mange, right? And smote him and slew him. They servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he that defies the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord, and it's all caps here again, that delivered me out of the paw of that lion, out of the paw of that bear. He will deliver me out of the hands of that Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. What do you do with that? Dude, what do you do with somebody like that? Can you imagine the look on Saul's face? A lion, a bear, just for a little lamb? Okay. Go, David, it's your funeral. But we know that it was not his funeral. The Lord was with him. But could you just imagine you're in that wilderness and a bear just comes out and grabs the lamb and runs off. And the scripture doesn't tell us that David flinched. No, David went after. that bear. He went after that lamb because that enemy was coming, and he knew what that enemy was going to do to that poor innocent animal. And David just went, and when he went, he grabbed that bear, he grabbed that lion by the mane, and he slew him. Oh, why? Because there was something special about David. Yes, or something special. He had the Lord, my Lord. We have the same Lord today. Guess what? He is the same Lord. Hebrews 12:20 tells us, Now the God of peace brought against from the dead our Lord, and that as Jesus, that the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That beautiful, right? Beautiful. The death of our Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord. Establish a everlasting covenant, a new covenant with not just the Jewish, but also to us Gentiles. We got that birth and we got that death, that crucifixion. We got that resurrection, and all historically accurate. It depicts our salvation of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the grace and the mercy that was shed for a wretched sinner like me. Oh, thank God for the blood of the cross. Thank God for that invitation to open my heart to receive Jesus Christ. John 6:37, for all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, he will not cast us out that we come to him. John 6:44, no man comes to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. He draws us. I will rise him up in the last day. There's a drawing out. Seeking God. We become his children. Romans 10:8-11. Romans 10:8-11 says this, but what say it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Confession is made to the Lord Jesus, right? But what are we confessing? Do we need to confess? Yes. We don't have to guess and scratch our heads to try to figure it out. 1 John 1:9 said, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not popular, guys, because sin wants to be endorsed. It wants to be accepted. Sin is not popular. Sin is not supposed to be popular, right? Sin should not be popular. It should grieve our hearts. In churches like John Hagee and others, Steve Furtick, another popular one, Joel Osteen, they all downplay sin because it does not sell. It's all about money. As times get darker and darker, these guys will compromise more and more. You may just say, hey, I don't want to hear about it. Fine. Because they're not truly in it. Of course, we keep them in our prayers and we pray for them, right? That they will see the errors are way before it's too late. But money, as stands for them, is the root of their happiness, not the gospel. You just have to look at their lifestyles. Ask yourself, if Jesus was physically here walking among us in the flesh, right? And he walked into one of these churches, you think he would be okay with somebody like John Hagee, who is worth millions of dollars, and a bunch of other ones? Jules Myers, Beth Moore. He would be okay with these men and women profiting off of people. Would he be okay with people listening to these individuals and giving their money while there are true ministries out there that are hurting, that could use the money, that could really be doing something for Jesus? You say, oh, Jesus wouldn't do nothing. I beg to differ. Matthew 21:12-13 says this. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and brought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves. He would chase them out of that in their own churches. He will overthrow the pews. You have made my house of a den of thieves. You're not preaching the gospel. You're preaching a version that is tickling the ears. Oh, wake up. Oh, wake up, for it's too late. Oh, I'm going to tell you, we need to wake up. Flesh is still powerful, right? Satan understands the flesh. He was there in the Garden of Eden, where Eve allowed Satan to tempt her, and then Adam went right along with it. He should have stood up, as most men in our homes should stand up for our family and stand in the gap and say, not today, Satan. The word of God is here. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, where are you men of God, true men of God, that will stand for your families? Were your kids watching all kind of crazy, filthy stuff on television? Oh, how they're enjoying the movies like Harry Potter and watching Disney shows that are openly accepting witchcraft. Harry Potter, there's no gray area, that's witchcraft. But kids watch it, families allow it. They're letting their kids watch it, and then less Bible reading in their homes, less praying in their homes. And when their kids get old and older and they're in college, they say, we'd rather not believe in this fairy tale of the God of the Bible. And you scratch your head, oh, you're at fault. Satan was there when Cain slew Abel. Satan was there in the days of Noah. Satan was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. David was there when David. Satan was there. Satan was there when David lust over Bathsheba and committed sins. Satan was there when they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was here today in America with his demonic hosts, destroying piece by piece because we have allowed him to come in. We have allowed these people like John Hagee and others to preach a version of the gospel and get supporting them. Stop sending your money to these guys. Find you some true men of God in the ministry. There's a few of them. Satan and his demons are no joke. I believe they're probably most intelligent than most human beings in this world, period. They have been successfully dismantling the word of God because we have allowed them to. Just do we get that? Romans 10, 8 through 11, right? That's here's the key, right? But what say the word is nigh thee, that even in thy mouth and thy heart, that is the word of faith that we preach, the word of faith we preach with. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, righteousness, right, holiness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. You see here, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, right? We have to confess our sins. It boils down to sin. And we have to take that in. And with our heart, we have to recognize that birth, that death, that crucifixion, that resurrection. Oh, and thou shalt be saved. Meaning, we take that in. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. And because we believe this, we are given that borrowed robe of righteousness, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That righteous, that borrowed robe. Oh, if we look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6, it says it tells us about righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, that heart protector to protect our heart. Why? Because our heart should be the heart for Jesus, right? A heart to walk in the light and not in the dark. Oh, our heart should be into the Word of God more than watching TV and reading that trashy novel or going out with friends and having a good old time. Our heart should be in the Word of God and seeking Him through prayer. Oh, even in fasting, if we need to, but are we indulging ourselves with the flesh and loving this world? Are we truly different? Has our life truly changed? You see, the true crisis, one of them, true crisis in America, is false conversion. And I preached a message maybe 3-4 weeks ago on Christian versus discipleship. Is there a difference? There is no difference. To be a disciple is to be a Christian who follows Jesus. To know Jesus, His teachings, to seek more and to grow to be like Jesus and to go for Jesus. Here I am and serving others and making new disciples. That is what a Christian is. But we've got today, they will say, no, that ain't correct. But I want to tell you, they're not correct because the Word of God is very clear. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. And to be a disciple is saying, my old life does not matter no more. I'm stepping into the new. And I want to do what Jesus wants to do with my life. And I do not care about my aspirations, my hopes, for whatever. My hope lies in Jesus. My aspirations lies in Jesus, right? But you'll see that this don't preach to today's modern day Christianity, to this new age Christianity, to this progressive Christianity, because they don't want to hear it, because they want to say, I'm getting to go to heaven, but I want to also have my heaven here and do whatever I want. I want to fornicate. I want to do adultery. I want to look and lust all the time. Oh, I want those material things. Oh, I want to have that. Give that to me. Oh, I don't want no self-sacrifice. Give me is all about me. Oh, I'm all good. I'm still saved because I believe in Jesus. Oh, I don't have to deny myself. That is the progressive. That is the new age. And do not confuse yourself. This is the new Christianity. Today, when somebody says they're a Christian, you have to get them to define it. And most of them can't even define it. That's the sad part. Then you have to help along. But along that path is about that conversion, meaning the old to the new. And they don't want to hear that part of it, because that's where it gets real. And that's a real part that you have to have in order truly. Romans 10, 8 through 11. But what happens? Matthew 7, 13, 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a straight gate that's wide. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way, meaning wide. And this leads to destruction. This leads to hell. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there will find it. Few. What does that mean? Not as many as people are going to heaven as we think they are. And that is, people will get angry. And I am not here to be popular. My calling is not here to be popular. It's to call out and to warn and to warn and to warn until they lock me up and kill me. To warn, to keep warning, to keep warning. I know it's going to fall on deaf ears. But it's not my job to fear who will listen, who won't listen. It's to keep on preaching, right? We continue looking at Matthew 7. You look at verse 15. It said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inward there are raving wolves. We're supposed to warn about these guys. And you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bring not good fruit is hemmed down and cast into the fire. You are cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And not everyone that says me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say on that day when we'll have that day, to say, Lord, Lord, have we not professed in that name? In that name had cast out demons, in that name done many wonderful works. And I will profess as Jesus unto them, I never knew you, depart me, ye worker of iniquity. And therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon that house, it fell not, for what it was founded on, that rock, the rock of Jesus. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, it beat up on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those verses, they just breaks my heart. But it's what the Word of God says. Does it sound like a feel-good message that most churches are preaching today? Everybody's going to heaven. No, don't worry about hell. Heaven's for everybody. You don't have to live a life where you're worrying about your sin all the time. You don't have to worry about your sinful behavior, because God loves you anyway. But I want to tell you, as we looked at Hebrews 12, he said, those that don't receive my chastening and my scourging, they are bastards. They are not mine. Matthew 16:24 said, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Amen. We should deny our flesh. That is part of Christianity, true Christianity, denying ourselves daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. That is true Christianity. That is true discipleship for Jesus Christ as a mark. I die daily. I do not blend into this world. I choose to be separate from this world. I will not act like this world. I will not talk like this world. I will not cling to the hope of this world. Why? Because I am called to be separate, right? I do not blend. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. If you choose to blend into this world, you are not a child of God. You are a child of Satan. And this will hurt your feelings. But I'd rather hurt your feelings now than when you are in hell. And there's no second chances in hell. That's over with. Luke 14:27-35 says this. And whosoever do not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost. Count the cost. Whether he have sufficient to finish it. Let hardly after he that lay the foundation is not able to finish it all. That behold it began to mock him, saying, this man built, began to build and was not able to finish. Oh, what king or what king's going to make war against another king? They don't sit down first and consult whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000. Oh, else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desire condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all he had, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 34 says, salt is good, but if salt has have lost his savor, wherein shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Count the costs. Count the costs. Count the costs. This message is not being taught. And it's leading to false conversions. Because it does not sell. It doesn't get their numbers up. They can't brag, oh, 200 people were saved and I baptized 150 of them or 200 of them. Oh, look at me. Look how great I am. No, it ain't about us. It's about Jesus Christ and what he does. But I want to tell you, thank God if they truly came to Jesus Christ and were baptized. But have you preached this message to them? Have you told them that they have to count the cost? Because there is a cost to following Jesus, right? Jesus says, the foxes have holes in the fowls. The birds of the air have a nest. They have places to sleep. But the Son of Man has no place to lie his head. Oh, you want to be homeless for Jesus? You want to lose everything for Jesus? Oh, no, I like my iPhone. I don't want to do that. Oh, I like my comfy bed. Oh, I like watching my Netflix. Oh, I like having all the commodities of this world. Don't tell me about sacrifice. Don't tell me that it's going to cost me something. I don't want none of that. I want an easy religion or easy salvation. I want some easy grace, man. That's fine. I know 20 other preachers that will feed me that lie. You reject it. You go down that wide path without repentance, without confession. You choose to follow Satan, but you will say, I'm following Jesus. I will ignore the plain scriptures of the Bible. No, you've been warned. You can't change the Word of God. It's there. The false preachers and Bible teachers, evangelists in the pulpits, yeah, they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Greed is a powerful thing. Pride is a powerful thing. My prayer is that people do open their eyes to the truth of the gospel. Maybe there's a time coming where America will be like one of those third world countries, or like China. The church in China is growing. The true Christian churches of China is growing because of the heavy persecution. Sometimes I think, will that take for America, for her, truly to have a true revival? Not these revivals they're talking about left and right. They're not revivals. They could revive a cockroach on the floor, powerless. People don't want to hear messages like this because it's so convicting. Because they have to look at their life and say, hey, something's not right. I don't like that. And what does it mean if I have to change all the stuff I'm doing? Oh, I have to act different at work. I can't blend in and look like everybody else. I'll get shunned. They may not like me. I'm telling you, we're not here to be liked, guys. We're here to give the gospel, whoever will hear it. Of course, not in hate. And Jesus never did it in hate. But people did hate him. Because the truth hurts. In closing, we got through the few more words in this psalm. This is going to be a pretty long preaching series. Maybe, you know, maybe two or three, maybe two more in it. Maybe two or three, depending. Lord really laid it on my heart to go into the psalms. This particular psalm, but it's a David psalm. And, of course, in the other sermon, we went into little details on David and how, you know, some thoughts behind the psalm, kind of a little historical background on it. I encourage you to listen to that one. But David, when he said, my shepherd, he was relating that in a very personal way because of his experience as a young shepherd in the wilderness watching over his family sheep. It was a honor for him because he knew that they were a valuable source for his family. And he took that responsibility serious. And when the predator, like that bear or that lion, came into the field or the wilderness, and in the flock took a lamb, David did not say, oh, well, that's just a lamb. I'm about to go about my business. No, he did not hesitate. Scriptures tells us he did not hesitate. He went after that predator, that lion, that bear. He did not back down. Why? Why? My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knew the Lord had his back. He knew the Lord would be right there with him. He grabbed that bear and that lion and he killed that bear and that lion. He removed that lamb from their grips. He rescued that poor lamb and he brought it back to that flock. He restored it back. You see, when David was being a shepherd, God was teaching him how to be a shepherd. He was shepherding David. He was giving him a heart for that shepherdness, that shepherdship, and that heart to go out and to be the king that he was going to be for Israel. Right? It's amazing. If you never read through the historical accurate accounts of David and, you know, starting with Goliath and all the way, I mean, it's such a very important read. It gets your head, it gives you the ups and downs. It's like our lives. We'll have those ups and downs. And we'll have those trials that will rock us to our core. And we will have those times where we just don't know what to do. And we will have sin in our life. And the difference in that time with David was the Holy Spirit was not inside David. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that are truly children of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's because of that Holy Spirit that we can feel that grief of our sin. David didn't have that. But we do. And we should be more sensitive to sin because of the Holy Spirit. If we are truly a child of God, we will be sensitive to the sin and it will grieve our hearts. Period. There's no second guessing it. But if you're sitting there and you're wanting to live in your sin, you do not want a life that is different, then you truly have not confessed and believed the scriptures on Jesus Christ. You truly do not believe in the Son of God. You truly don't believe that He was the Lamb that take away the sins of the world. You just said the words, and the words didn't mean nothing, because in the words is a life-changing power. Your life is gone. Period. You do not want to pick it back up. It is old news. And now you have the good news, the new life. And because of that new life, you breathe and you seek Jesus in what you do daily. You die daily. You seek every morning God and what He will have you do that day to reach those around you. And will that create enemies? Yes. Will that create people that will say all kind of manner of evil against you? Yes. Will that make you not be liked among most, even those professing to know Jesus? Yes. Why? Because they do not believe in the truth. They do not want to truly walk in the light. They want to live in their sin and be okay with that and say, I am sinning so I can still go to heaven because the Bible tells me so. I'm telling you, you're reading a different version of the Bible, because the Bible does not tell you to sin more. Anytime you encounter Jesus in the New Testament, I encourage you, every time He encounter, he says, sin no more. You can say as much as you want about David, he had his flaws. But you can see when he did repent and confess, he did not go back and do that sin over again. Can we say the same about ourselves? And he didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of him like we do. Because the Holy Spirit convicts, it chastens, it scourges. And this scourging leads us to repentance and asking forgiveness every day. That is a normal Christian life. Is when we encounter sin, we are driven to repentance and asking forgiveness. We should realize whatever we want to gain in this life, material things, does not matter. We hold dear, close to the things of Jesus Christ and what to come. We shall our heart cries and let the roof fall down. Oh, let my life be an example of suffering for you. Let me pick up my cross daily and follow you, Lord. Let the world see Jesus Christ in me. I do not want to blend. I do not want to talk like this world. I don't want to indulge in the filthiness conversation. Oh, let my light shine. Oh, let me be the salt of this world. I want my very presence to make people feel uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit is shining so brightly. Oh, Lord, create in me a shepherd heart. A heart for Jesus by being different than this world. You guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we finish this out tonight, I just pray that through the scriptures alone, that who's ever listening to this, they will write those scriptures down. I don't claim to be perfect. I could misspeak on things. I'm human. But through your scriptures, God, they're always true. If anything, just let them write the scriptures down and take them and study them and cross-reference them throughout the whole Bible. Creating an individual Bible study plan, seeking you more, not taking my words, because your word is the only word that matters. And to take that and be able to understand the Bible, and when listening to people like John Hagee and these other guys, that they will acknowledge that they are skewing the Bible. They are using it to profit themselves. Oh, they could care less about the Word of God. It's all about profit. Why would somebody be want to be worth millions and millions of dollars? Don't make no sense to me. Especially when there's so many people out there that could use the money. They could donate that money to so many people. The third world countries where kids are hungry. They could go and build shelters and homes. But they lay their fat with their filth. And the people there keeps indulging them. I know sometimes I don't understand it, God. Other than I know in the last days, you speak of these times where these big churches will be profiting these wolves in sheep clothing. They will be giving out the lukewarm gospel to those with the itching ears, and they will not heed the warning. As Noah preached for many years, righteousness, only 8 was saved. He said, as in the days of Noah. Scripture is very clear. Not as many people's going to heaven as people will profess, and they can't even make that work in the scriptures. They try to, but they can't. There will be more people going to hell than they will be going to heaven. But that don't negate our opportunity to go out there and to witness to whoever we can. That doesn't negate us that each of us have a ministry to reach those around us. Excuse us from the fact that we still have work to do until you come back. God, I pray that our heart cry is to have that heart for you. not blend into this world, but to be separate. And let our light shine among those we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a good rest of the week. You know how to get in contact with me. Love y'all.